with a job. And I kind of think it wouldn't be too bad strategy to have Thomas campaign and have a guy on the ticket saying, you know, that if I'm elected, I mean, we'll ask the legislature to abolish the job. Of course, it'd be 1978 before they could do it, you know, but I don't think a lieutenant governor is necessary. I mean, I think that in the line of succession, they could go to the Secretary of State or something like that, somebody who's elected statewide, not the President of the Senate, because he's only elected from one district.
The way it is in this state, is sure doesn't have any functional duties that we can discover.
No, we've been paying this asshole all this year for doing nothing. Now, he hadn't had a job since he was called before the House for impeachment last year. The governor removed him from his duties. He doesn't even cut ribbons.
What kind of future do you see for Paula Hawkins in state politics?
A fantastic future if she gets some very competent help. I think she's got to have some more competent help. And personally, I would hope that she wouldn't be quite as quick on the trigger. She's a brilliant woman and a hard worker, a hard campaigner. But she's a little bit inclined to shoot from the hip, and that can get you in trouble. But she's probably the best thing we've got going for us right now, because she's been grabbing the headlines for over a year, and just works like a beaver. Every time they have a hearing in a town, she schedules a luncheon speech to the Rotary and Lions or something like that, and then meets with the local Republicans at night. So she's building a hell of an organization. I think she'd be our best chance to beat Childs in 76. As of right now, I think she's the only one that I know of that could beat him.
You think Florida is ready to elect a woman to the Senate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's the first woman elected in Florida in 100 years, and next to Nixon, she got more votes than anybody's ever gotten in Florida. She got 1,115,000, something like that. More votes than Askew, more votes than Gurney, more votes than any of them.
Yeah, she's a pretty tough campaigner.
Oh, God, she's tough. And work? You know, she's a... Have you talked to her yet?
Yeah.
Have you?
Today. She said to say hello.
Did she? She's a... Did she tell you she's in the vitamin business? Did she
somebody
tell
else
that?
Told her she was in health foods and vitamins.
Yeah. Did she try to sell you any?
No.
Well, she should have. I tell you, she puts out a little pack, five or six of the damn things in a little cellophane sack called Something Great. It's $15 a month. And they send you these 30 little sacks, and you take one every morning. And I get tired of taking the damn things and forget to take them about half the time, but I'm convinced they work. And she takes them and sends them all over the country to her friends. And I've never seen anybody that could work as hard as she can. God almighty, I mean, you know, that you'd think that sometimes, somewhere, she'd run down. But she was my co-chairman in the Nixon campaign. And at the same time, we got to run for the Public Service Commission. So she was doing both things at the same time. And she never got to bed before midnight at the earliest. And boy, at 6 o'clock the next morning, she's just as bright and shiny and chipper as anybody you've ever seen. And ready to go again.
Disgusting.
And, yeah. And she doesn't drink and smoke and cuss. She's a very devout Mormon. And Jesus, I don't know how she gets a kick, you know, except just loving to run and loving to tear men's ass up. You know, she's a little bit too quick with that knife sometimes, you know. And I'm afraid sooner or later that'll get her in trouble, because she's so sharp, she comes back so fast that somebody's going to bump into somebody that sets her up, you know. She kind of got set up last week, if you read in the paper. Are you familiar? See, a year ago, she's been a bank director for 3 or 4 years, and a year ago, of course, her secretary puts out 500 letters a week, she said. But they wrote a letter, she wrote a letter to the FDIC asking them to turn, and she wrote it on Public Service Commission stationery. Now, God, that was a super colossal blunder. I mean, she shouldn't have even written it on her personal stationery, but she damn sure shouldn't have written it on the PSC stationery. And for the first time, see, she's had a honeymoon with the press for a year. And for the first time, then they said, uh-oh, she's not a housewife from Maitland. She's a tough politician. When you start trying to block bank charters and using Public Service Commission stationery to do it and telling how many businesses you regulate and so forth, they took it a little bit out of context. Reading the whole letter wasn't as bad, but it's the first severe rebuke that she's had. I agree with what she said in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, we don't have branch banking in Florida, but we might as well have it. Because we're getting too many little banks. I mean, you know, we've got banks now in places like Orlando, like the 7-Eleven grocery store. And that doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, you can have too many of anything. As Orlando's found out, they got too many motels. Way too many.
How is the press in this state, State Capitol Press?
I think is, generally speaking, very good. We only have one bad paper, and that damn thing, I'm telling you the truth, it's unbelievable, the St. Petersburg Times. I mean, God almighty, how they twist things, and I really think they're unfair, and I think it's the only one in the state that's unfair. The Miami Herald, pretty damn liberal, but I think they're fair. It's a night newspaper, and like your Charlotte Observer, and it's but I think they're, you know, they do a good job. They've been on Gurney's back for over a year, but they've had something. Now, they've been awful repetitive with it. I mean, they've kicked the damn same old mule. They warm him up every week, you know. Every Sunday, they take the same thing and hash it over again, you know. And from that standpoint, I think they've overdone it a little bit, but generally speaking, I think the Miami Herald is fair.
How do you feel about all the legislative reforms that have been made in the last 8 years?
Well, of course, coming from this part of the state, I'm almost taking my life in my hands to say it, but, you know, they were long overdue. And for God's sake, I better cut off right there. I mean, don't quote me on this, because I've still got to sell Chevrolets in Panama City. And so don't quote me, but, you know, for years and years, what was called the pork chop gang controlled the legislature until they had reapportionment. And, boy, they didn't let anything get through that they didn't want through. And so they held the populous areas of the state down for many years. But, boy, many a guy has been frozen out up here for making that statement. One poor guy.
You're still that strong?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. One poor guy here was a television announcer, and he took the campaign for a candidate from South Florida for the, must have been for a cabinet post or something, having no idea that this guy, that they would have a taped show of his campaign speech that was made down in South Florida, and here he was raising hell about the pork choppers. And boy, they froze this guy out. But just because he was the guy's campaign manager. And he had no idea how the guy felt about it, you know. But here he was on local television raising hell about the pork chop game. And, oh man, they're still tough. Another thing that we don't talk about up here, have you ever seen a greenbelt map of this area? You familiar with what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, God, I wish I had one. You ought to have it. I can mail it to you. But they have the Chamber of Commerce here. One guy in a restaurant here had guts enough to do it. Had a map printed of Bay County. And he shows in red and green and yellow and white so it knocks you in the eye. 87%, I believe it is, of the property in this county is under the Greenbelt Law. And the Greenbelt Law, I mean, it's not agricultural land, it's tree raising land. And maybe since you've been in the state, you've read in the last week or two, there. St. Joe Paper Company, are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
Well, see, they own everything in Florida. I mean, the Florida National Bank, Mr. Ed Ball, was the administrator of the DuPont Estate. The Florida East Coast Railroad, you know, stayed on strike for how many years? They own millions of acres in North Florida. Millions. They own hundreds of thousands of acres in this county. They wouldn't sell a damn inch of it. Nothing. I mean, that's one of the reasons that the real estate is, the little real estate that's available here now is so high. And they have land. What they're trying to do in the Chamber of Commerce here and in the legislature is anything that's within 600 feet of the beach, take it out from under Greenbelt Law. They pay no taxes. I mean, it's supposed to be growing pine trees, and it does. I mean, they do a great reforestation job. But some of this land is prime land, worth, you know, anything worth $10,000 an acre damn sure shouldn't be under Greenbelt Law, in my opinion. But I don't go around hollering that, because they could put the freeze on me about as quick as they could anybody, being in the retail automobile business. But I'll mail you a copy, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's so little land here. It's owned by International Paper Company, Hunter Oil Company, St. Joe Paper Company, and St. Regis.
It's all exempt?
Yeah. I mean, that's not
total?
Completely, no.
No, it's just
quarter
it's
an acre.
It's assessed on the basis of...
Of agriculture
and this land classification, right?
It's a neat ripoff.
And it goes all over the from Jacksonville to Pensacola. You know, many counties. I mean, that's all you have is pine tree. And I'm not knocking that, but they ought to pay a fair share of the taxes. And, you know, we've got to have pine trees. I mean, we've got to have paper, and that's all some of this land is good for, you know, is growing pine trees, really. But when they get down and get waterfront property, I mean, good God almighty, that shouldn't be under the Greenbelt Law.
Somebody took care of them.
Yeah, way back. And they're fighting to hang on to it. But Mr. Ball... You ought to interview him if you could get an interview. Florida National Bank, I've forgotten the, well, I don't know, 100 banks, something like that, in the state. All the small towns has a Florida National Bank. All the DuPont estate in Miami, the downtown area, DuPont Pleasant. You know where DuPont Plaza is down there? You know, all that land around there belongs to them. I mean, they just have billions of dollars. He's 80-some years old. Wouldn't give a nickel to see a piss ant eat a bale of hay. You know, I mean, he's an ornery old bastard, but he's a pretty good old fellow at the same time. But you ought to get an appointment with him in Jacksonville and go talk to him. I bet you'd see if you could...
Didn't he lose a lot of his power after reapportionment?
Some, yeah. He had to lose some, you know.
Well, if he hadn't lost it, they never would have passed that corporate income tax,
right.
Would they?
That's right. He lost some, but he's still powerful.
But in the old days, he was almost anything he said went.
By
right?
Himself, yeah. I mean, one man had that much power.
Didn't he have the reputation of pretty much just controlling the legislature?
Yeah. Because he could do it in so many ways. I mean, you know, he owned some of these guys' lock, stock, and barrel.
Mm-hmm. And then just being smart on top of that.
Yeah, real smart. But you know, when you come from Port St. Joe, or Perry, or Chipley, or Bonifay, or name the towns across there, every one of them's got a Florida National Bank. The only bank, in most cases. And some guys run for the legislature or something, got a gas station, drugstore, you better believe that they did what the hell he wanted them to do. And it wasn't just North Florida. I mean, he had a lot of that control all over the state. And he had some big people, too.
Are those days gone forever in Florida?
I think so. I really do.
Will this disclosure law, if it passes, be a hindrance in so far as recruiting candidates?
Well, it depends on what form it's passed in. You know, what I wish they would do, I think there ought to be some kind of disclosure, but, you know, I'd like to see a bipartisan committee set up with, some top people on it that would look at the tax return, have them file a statement. But, you know, an awful lot of people aren't going to run for office if they have to divulge all they what they own and everything. I tell you, in the climate that we live in today, I had a daughter who just graduated from college Sunday at Queens in Charlotte, and she did television commercials there for us for several years, starting when she's about 12 years old, and did a fantastic job. It really worked. But it scared the living hell out of me. I was afraid some crazy son of a bitch would kidnap her or something, you know. And, you know, I think that, you know, I'd hate now. I mean, I wouldn't mind at all giving somebody that I trusted, some judge or some bipartisan panel that I'd be glad to turn on my income tax returns, my financial statements to them. But I'd sure as hell hate to put it in the paper, because I'd be inviting all kinds of kooks to shoot at me from all different angles. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. In the original form that they had 2 or 3 weeks ago, where they were going to ask committee men and committee women, hell, if they did that, we couldn't get a committee man and committee woman. If they had to file a financial disclosure. Hell, we have enough trouble getting them as it is, you know. And if they had to do that, you know, I don't care whether Democrats or Republicans, we wouldn't have been able to get them to do it. I think they pretty well got them eliminated from what they're talking about right now.
When you talk about the Republicans being well organized as a party, say in this county, to what extent are they organized?
Well, they probably have precinct committee men and committee women for probably 35 or 40% of the precincts, which represents probably 75 or 80% of the votes. Some of the small precincts, you know, where there aren't been very many votes, we may not even have a Republican living in the precinct, you know, or maybe just have one or two. But we have them organized enough to where we keep them informed on what's going on, who our candidates are, what the issues are, and what the other side's done that we consider is wrong. And we put out a monthly newsletter to them. I don't know if the bill showed you one of them or not, but we try to keep them informed on what's going on in Tallahassee and what's going on in Washington. And come election time, I mean, then the people in the county committees organize the campaigns for all the candidates we have, and we haven't had that many statewide candidates in all in the past, but you know, they know that we're going to have this year and in the future, and it gives a candidate a good, strong base to work from.
Are there any elected black Republican officials in Florida?
No, not that I know of, except on county committees. We have several of them, you know, serving on county committees in Palm Beach County and Broward County in particular. But I don't know of an elected black, say, in a county commission job or anything like that. In fact, we don't have many black Republicans in Florida.
Do you see, and how do you approach that situation?
I wish I knew how to approach it. I've been very unsuccessful at it. Unfortunately, most of the blacks who've talked to me about getting into the Republican Party and doing something, they expect a whole lot for nothing. And I tell them, we can't out-promise the Democrats. There is no way. We just can't do it. I mean, and I'm not going to lie to them. But all of them usually want money. And I tell them, we don't have any money to give them. The state party is supported by contributions, filing fees and contributions from the people at the county level. And we don't have money to give them back. We have tried, in some cases to help some, particularly in Palm Beach County. And it was unsuccessful. Palm Beach, Duval County, there's a tremendous black population in Jacksonville. And we have some good, dedicated black Republicans over there, but only a handful of them.
Do you see more coming into the party, or just staying where it is?
No, I think it's going to stay pretty well like it is. I don't see anything that's going to entice them to come into the party. And, I think the Democrats, particularly in North Florida, are so wrong about this, and I think the blacks are wrong too, but votes are still bought and sold in North Florida. Right here in this county and other counties across here. It's funny, you'd think the Democrats would catch on, but some of the candidates and say in the county commission races, sheriff's races now, by the black votes, some of the black votes were sold in the last election in this county 2 and 3 times. It's ridiculous. I think it's morally wrong to buy a vote, and I think it's just as wrong to sell one. And I don't know which is worse. But it still goes on in the year 1972. And the blacks make fun, the blacks laugh at the Democrat candidates for buying the votes. Because, when they go in that booth and close the curtain, who the hell knows how they vote?
I guess that makes it a risky business.
Yeah. But there's a lot of money spent on it. I tell you, there were several $1,000s spent in this county in 1972 buying black votes. And I know at least one candidate who really got taken. Spent a lot of money and they didn't deliver.
Do you have anything else, Walter?
No, I don't think so. Starting to run down.
I hear you.
This is about our 7th or 8th interview today.
Well, I'm sorry you can't spend more time in Panama City.
I'd like to. That's interesting.
Is there anything else you wanted to comment on that we didn't ask?
Yeah. No, I know.
We'll probably come back to you after the election.
Okay.
Check your predictions against
okay.
reality.
All right.
See how much of it was bullshit.
Well, in 1972.
Well, how much it was pure, how much pure prophecy?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
That's about the choice you have.
Yeah. In 1972, I called the primary right down to a gnat's eyebrow, and people in Washington didn't believe that. And about in September, before the general election in November, I told them exactly what Nixon would get, and everybody made fun of me, particularly the Democrats, said it never happened. But I told them that we would get 72% for Nixon, and we got 71.91, and I settled for that all day long. But that's why I say that Thomas can beat Askew. Because 75% of the people in Florida are conservatives. And all we got to do is prove to them that Askew's not.
You're basing that on the 72 election return?
Yeah, 72 general election and the Wallace thing. It's just here. That's the way it is. And See, you know, I didn't have any crystal ball for my prediction in the 72 thing. I took the Wallace vote in 68 and the Nixon vote in 68, added the two together, and added 3% then. I figured there's that many that figured that McGovern was a fucking nut, you know. You got the thing cut off, and that's the way it turned out, you know.
Correct, but delete.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, I did want to ask one more question. That is, what do you see Cramer playing any future role in the party insofar as seeking elective office?
No. You know that old story, you know, he's like the country girl that went to town and found out that what she'd been giving away for years she'd now sell. And Cramer, he's going to have to do a lot of explaining to a lot of people about this. You might have read in the paper in the last month or so. He's representing OEO now. And they came to him and wanted him to represent him. And my God, if there's anybody that doesn't believe in OEO, it's Cramer. And they asked him, you know, to quote him a figure. And he gave him a written quote of $25,000 a month and thought they'd get rid of him, and they hired him.
Sounds like a good way to get rid of poverty.
$25,000 a month retainer?
Yeah, $25,000 a month retainer. How about that? I told him his philosophy didn't run very damn deep. He said, well, everybody's got his price, you know. But I would imagine that Cramer, of course.
I think that'd be a very effective way to eliminate poverty.
Yeah, particularly Cramer's.
Yeah. Smathers. There's no telling what Smathers makes as a lobbyist attorney now. You know, I'm guessing. But if Smathers don't make a quarter of a million a year, he don't make a nickel. I mean, peddling his influence. And if you don't want him, you know, if you don't want to pay for it, don't bother.
Why did you take this job as chairman? So you don't get paid anything for it, and you spend how much time do you spend in a month working on Republican Party matters?
Probably I spend about half time working at it, but that's probably spend 30 hours a week. But because I want to see a strong Republican Party, I want to see a strong Conservative Party, and I want to see a two-party system established, because I know, you know, the benefits of having a two-party system, having lived in a two-party state, you know, where you have the checks and balances that we haven't had here. I mean, you know, these guys in the cabinet over there, they've been protecting each other for 100 years. I mean, shit, they didn't just start selling bank charters. They've been doing it for 100 years. I mean, this nothing new. Well, if you'd had a strong two-party system, you know, this you couldn't do this type thing.
Have you ever run for office?
No, except for the state chairman.
You think you might after you finish this?
No, never. I mean, I don't even think like a candidate. I mean, and this is hard to believe, but I don't really like politicians. I have some of the damnedest knockdown, drag-out fights you've ever seen. And I'll tell you something else, and a lot of people don't believe it, but I spend more time talking people out of running than I do spending talking people into running. Because in 72, I tried to spend every Friday in the office, and people called in and they'd want to run for county commission and this and that. And the first thing I asked them was, why? And I wish I'd had a tape recorder of some of the answers. I mean, because some of them were really ridiculous. I mean, you know, I had a guy tell me one time he wanted power. And I said, well, you know, my God, is that the only reason? Yeah. And I said, well, you are wrong. You know, if you serve the people, you're not going to have any power. You've got the wrong idea. You shouldn't even consider running for the county commission. And, you know, we have some real oddballs, I mean, you know, that have freakish ideas. One thing for damn sure, there is no money in politics if you're honest. There's no way. You got to have some other motivation, because you damn sure can't make any money out. I don't care, you couldn't make any money being president if you're honest. If a guy's got the money and got the inclination, great. But I just hope that...
What are the kind of people, you know, that you try to recruit?
Well, you know, it depends on the job they're running for. I mean, you know, if it's a part-time job or a full-time job.
I say it's legislature.
Well, legislature, I would, you know, I think we've got too many lawyers in the legislature, and, you know, and I can get in all kinds of arguments over there saying that. But I think it's true. We've got too many lawyers and too many insurance men. I think the kind of a guy that we ought to have in the legislature is some young guy that's, you know, on the way up, or some guy who's moderately got it made that can afford to serve over there and have a free and open mind. But so many of them, you know, we got an awful lot of them in our own party over there, but we got some good young people, and some of them aspire to higher office, and that's great. I mean, they're really dedicated. But then we've got some other guys that we're not real proud of. And of course, there's some guys in the Democrat Party that they're not proud of. And they've got some guys in the Democrat Party who have talked to me about switching to the Republican Party, and I let them know that I didn't want them. Just didn't woo them. And I could have gotten some members of the Democrat House right now to switch, but I'm sure the Democrats would have applauded had we been able to get them to switch, but we didn't want them. Because unfortunately, there are a few people in the legislature there now that shouldn't be there. But, you know, to run for the state chairman's job, two things. I doubt if I'll ever do it again. And I probably wouldn't have done it in 70 if I hadn't been so damn mad at Kirk for splitting the party and tearing it apart like he did.
End interview with Tommy Thomas. No more transcription. This tape. Thank you.